They'd have to kick him out of the White House, repo the White House. And stuff.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. At the end of the day, it's like if they did call the debt, it's like, all right, we'll come and take it, fuckers.
Welcome to Boomer Meets World. Family from three generations talk honestly about life and differences while showing vulnerability and passion. I'm Therese, and I'm the boomer. Amanda is an elder millennial, and Dominic is Gen Z, or the zoomer. We're not experts. We're just having conversations from our own individual viewpoints. We hope you'll enjoy the show. Big in the news right now, the debt ceiling and can we pay our bills as a country? It's kind of crazy, but I don't really understand the ins and outs of it. Amanda, have you any grasp on this?
I feel about as technically proficient here as I would doing like brain surgery.
Okay.
So
yeah, I'd fuck that up.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to go with a no.
We're going to now just go to our financial guy here, who is the youngest of us, but certainly, at least as far as I'm concerned, for me anyway, knows way more about financial things than I do when it comes to stuff like this. So, Dom, do you think that you can explain to this old boomer and the millennial a little bit about what this whole national debt and debt ceiling situation is and what's happening, and is there a way out?
Can we just take the roof off and have it be more of an open concept?
Or maybe just build a couple more stories onto the building.
Yeah. It's a little more complicated than that. I'm going to try to keep it as general and simple as I can, and stop me if you have any questions. But so you need to separate the debt from the debt ceiling. And the debt's pretty simple, right? This is how much money that the public, you know, the United States citizens owe to whoever owns the debt. Chinese, the French, Japanese, whoever, right?
A combination thereof, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's our government's debt, right? I mean, it's not personal debt. It's... Well,
yes, but it's the citizens' debt, right? It's the nation's debt. And so they issue all of that debt, I think, or maybe I shouldn't say all. They issue most of it, if not all of it, through like treasuries, treasury bonds and whatnot. And historically, they've been one of the most safe investments because the United States has never balked on their debt. So it's like a guaranteed return. It's not great return, but it's a guaranteed return. Anyways, so the current national debt is $31.4 trillion.
That's a lot of zeros.
Yeah. Is that 12? Is that 9 or 12 zeros?
I have no idea. I can't count that high.
12 zeros. Jeez. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's a lot. It's a lot of money. So where we're at now is Congress is in, and when I say Congress, I mean both chambers, the House and the Senate, are kind of in this spat with each other, with the president involved and also the Treasury, because the Democrats control a majority in the Senate and the Republicans control a majority in the House. And the House historically has been what they call like power of the purse. So they set the budget and they make all the financial decisions. Now, granted, there's vetoes all mixed in throughout there and other bills and whatnot, but we don't go down that rabbit hole. Anywho, the debt ceiling is basically like a credit line, right? It's how much the government agrees to, if they're running a deficit, meaning they're spending more than they're bringing in, the ceiling is saying this is how much we're allowed to go over that. So they're in this spat about whether they are going to raise that ceiling and say, basically, we're going to increase our credit line and allow to keep borrowing from other nations and other investors. And if they don't, well, then that's where this thing gets ugly, right? Like,
do we ever get to a place?
We haven't.
Because it goes in and out, right? Like, it's sometimes we're closer to it than other times, and right now, for whatever reason, we're on track to spend more than we told ourselves we would.
Right. So we have never, we've always raised the debt ceiling. We haven't defaulted yet. And that gets kind of complicated because it's a little misleading on what all these terms flying around. But essentially, like the way, the easy analogy I can say, right, is you go to the bank and the bank's like, we're not going to loan you any more money. Right. You're like, you've maxed out your credit, you've maxed out your leverage. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Republicans are trying to do. The Republicans are trying to shut down raising this credit line and saying, you know what? Nope, we need to buckle down. We need to cut spending and we need to balance our budget and start paying off our national debt. So
we're going to crash through the ceiling before that happens, right? I mean, that's
where it gets tricky, right? Because June 1st is this kind of, I don't want to call it a tentative date, but it's like Janet Yellen, who runs the Treasury Department, she is saying that if we don't raise the debt ceiling before June 1st, there is a high chance that we will default on our debt payments as early as June 1st, which, you know.
Nope, a few days away right now.
Yeah, a few days away. So tricky, right? And the problem is that if you got, because you get to think about this too, like there's constantly money flowing through the US government's bank accounts, right? There's tax revenue coming in all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's always money going out at the same time. So if it gets to a point where they aren't allowed to borrow any more money to pay for all of our expenses, well, you got to tighten the belt and something gets cut. That's where the big unknown comes in. This has never happened to my knowledge. And so people don't know who the hell is going to get paid and who the hell isn't going to get paid if this were all to hit the fan. And so Janet Yellen is kind of throwing some pressure onto the Republicans because, and it could be political or whatnot, I don't know, but they're talking about not paying our debt payments first. Because like, imagine you're Biden right now, right? And let's say the debt ceiling doesn't get raised. And Janet Yellen comes up to you and says, we only have $1 trillion, but we have $1.5 trillion in expenses. Who do you not want to pay? Do you not want to pay the military? Do you not want to pay the senior citizens? Do you not want to pay food stamps? HUD?
Yeah, right. What do you default on? What do you bounce your check on?
Yeah. So you either decide to, yeah, exactly. What do you bounce your check on? So do you make your payments to outside investors who own all of the debt of the United States? Or do you cut social programs? And that's where it gets super fucking dicey. And Biden's kind of fucked because he said he wasn't going to negotiate on raising the debt ceiling or not raising it. And now he's having conversations with House Majority Leader McCarthy. So already there's caucuses in his wings that Biden is just never going to appease because he's talking to McCarthy. And on the other side, the Republicans are trying to say, we don't want to raise the debt ceiling. We want to cut budget and lower spending so we can make payments towards our debt.
But this should,
which
not
is a
be
tall a- order.
It's not the avenue through which they should do that, right? I mean, obviously, the stakes are too high with this to use it as a tool to get what they want.
Something's got to give, though, doesn't it? At some point, trillions of dollars in debt is really a scary place to be in. I don't know if every country has that situation. That's where I am a dummy completely when it comes to this stuff. But I think there has to be something. You can't just keep, they're not going to keep raising, for example, my credit limit so I can keep putting stuff on my credit card in order to get deeper into debt.
Probably not.
So I would think that they would, and I'm thinking that's got to be the same way it is sort of with a country. You know, there's going to be a place where these investors want to see some return on their investment I also get, yeah, who do you not help? Do you not help the homeless? Do you not help the elderly? Do you not pay like the military? What do you do?
Okay. So there's a lot there, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess Greece, you remember Greece bank went bankrupt. They defaulted. And that was not pretty for Greece. What was that? Maybe 10 to 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You remember like the unemployment.
They were on that path. They were on that path.
I know. But like, you know, you saw how bad it got to the point. Like that shit melted down terrible. I think that's what they called it. They called it the meltdown or something.
They don't
like
make
that.
Any money either. I mean, the other, I think, side of the coin here, right, is that
right.
What is the GDP of
but
the
that's
country
why people love that... yeah well that's what people love treasury bonds, because it's like the US has never defaulted and the US always pays its debts, so it's like the superb credit rating where people are like, you're not going to lose your money. But now, I mean, there is also like, if you look at it from like not just cutting but also like your reputation, like I don't like the idea of raising the debt ceiling, but there is an argument to be said, like, you don't want to tarnish your reputation. So I don't want to keep digging. But at the same time, if you start making people like wary across the world, like maybe I shouldn't buy treasuries. There are like Microsoft and was it Johnson & Johnson? I know it's Microsoft and I think it's Johnson & Johnson. Like they're selling more bonds, more corporate debt bonds than the U.S. Treasury, because people are so nervous that they're going to fuck this up. And the U.S. is like, for the first time, going to walk back on their debt payments, which is just like insane, right? Like you lose confidence and then who wants to invest in you? So we're playing a dangerous game. We're playing with fire right now.
But what happens, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but what happens if some of these guys are calling their debt? And they say, you need to pay this off. I mean, that's where you get into trouble too, is that, and if you raise the ceiling some more, it's just getting more, you know.
Government will have its cars repossessed.
Which, you know, might not be a bad idea, but I just, I think, what do they do?
I don't know. That's where it starts to get a little above my, like above me, because calling debt is pretty big undertaking.
Yeah, sure. I don't think. I mean, that would be.
They'd have to kick him out of the White House and repo the White House. And stuff.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. At the end of the day, it's like if they did call the debt, it's like, all right, well, come and take it, fuckers.
This is mine now. This is mine.
This is mine now. I mean, it is interesting to see like what would happen. And I guess this is a good question, right? You are Janet Yellen.
It could be Janet Yellen. And if one of us could be, it could be me.
The U.S. has not raised.
It could be Janet.
Janet Yellen. Okay, yeah, it could be you. It could definitely be you. It's you all day. You're Janet Yellen. It's June 1st. The United States has not raised the debt ceiling. Do you cut the budget?
Well, her hands are tied.
Do you not pay bondholders?
Oh, you can't pay. You can't pay her.
What do you do as Janet Yellen?
Your bondholders.
Who do you
probably.
Not pay?
That's why I should be in charge.
Oh,
I don't know who you don't pay. I mean, it will cheapen the value of bonds and securities issued by the U.S. government, right? If we default, even if they,
right?
Also,
but
very
also
bad.
People without paychecks is bad.
Yeah,
too.
People not getting their Social Security or even just government employees. I mean. I know how expensive it is to live in the nation's capital. If
that's
they're
what
not
I don't
pay those.
Yeah,
people,
I don't understand.
That's
the
going to be trouble.
Practical
yeah.
implications, and how do they decide what they will renege on?
Well, I mean, like I said, that's the two arenas, right? You either have to cut programs/ not pay federal expenses, or you have to not pay your bondholders. Because they've never really had to do this. There was one time, I think,
probably.
Don't quote me, maybe the last 20 years that this came
up. I thought so, too. I thought so, too.
And
they
were having, like, rough draft conversations. Like, what would we do? What's our game plan?
I guess,
and,
so we always,
you know,
there's
there
always
wasn't
a,
really a good idea.
This gets politicized, but maybe not as often as the national budget gets politicized, right? Like, that happens all the time where you're like, oh, government shut down because they didn't pass the budget. And that's, we've seen mm-hmm. the government shut down multiple times. Why, if these two things are obviously closely linked. So what the hell happened here where a budget got passed and yet we're still going to hit the debt ceiling?
Well, because like, think about it, like, I don't know how much, like, I haven't tracked it recently. I used to track it a lot more, like how much they actually raise it with the debt, with the debt ceiling too, you know, but 31.4 trillion is pretty bad. Like that was, we
have we tripled that in
significant,
like a very short period of time. I don't remember.
But
it
it's
being
only what we, it's only what we allow
that high.
I mean, like what, it's at a moment, right? It's the delta.
Right.
It's not,
the,
it's not
the
that
difference.
That delta
it's
is always that big. It just, it has
it's,
the,
it's the delta.
It's the delta that we, the potential largesse of that, the potential magnitude of that delta that we allow at any one point in time.
Right.
But it doesn't, like Dom was explaining, like it's a balance sheet, right? So it's constantly, exactly.
It doesn't sit there.
Flux.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Money comes in and money goes out. Right. Exactly.
But yeah, still it's, that's big.
But still it's.
Yeah. And that, but the problem is, yeah. Yeah. It's a huge number and we keep adding, we just, we're living above our means, right? We're spending above our means. And so the pile of debt just keeps growing and growing and growing. The you know, the House Republicans have a leg up on Biden and they can force these conversations, which, you know, none of this is going to be popular, right? Like someone gets burned if they don't come to a compromise. Like someone gets burned real bad. So I don't know how you do it, right? Like what do you pick? And I think part of the reason that this has gotten so expensive was because of all the COVID money, right? Like a lot of that stuff was built in, like the HEROES Act, the CARES Act.
Maybe that's why we're seeing like a bubble now. We're seeing a bubble that we
Inflation
have to
Reduction
with,
Act. Like, well, and but those things, a lot of those, right, were spread over 10 years. So it wasn't just like, oh, here's $2 trillion right now, but it was spread over 10 years. So now you combine all of these, you know, in year, what are we, year three now? So like you keep adding more and more on, and now these pots, these allocations are getting more cumbersome as we go.
But also in those particular acts, there's a whole bunch of other crap crammed in there that in order to actually pass that and get those, that relief to people, other people shoved crap in there that they wanted. And so that made it even worse. And the fat. So there's a lot of fat that I think could be trimmed, but I don't think you can do that with a hatchet and just walk in there and, you know, start cutting things, because there's going to be a domino effect if you start cutting stuff like that immediately. I mean, there's ways to trim it, I think, but you have to do it, I think, probably over a course of time.
So that is an interesting comment, because there's actually been some studies out there, and I don't remember who did it, because I'd love to quote it. I found it one time. You could probably Google something about, like, I don't know, I forget what the actual congressional name for it is, whatnot, but like, you know, the fat on these bills and whatnot. There's been some studies that there is more progress in a system that allows features like that. So it's almost like, you know, grease for the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not on paper, right? It seems like at surface level, it looks very like unethical and terrible amounts of money. But there has been like some studies on lobbying and like this bill of fat. And they think that it potentially could make systems with it more efficient than systems without
it. Well, certainly they can get things passed, because now
you can buy each other.
Exactly. They're basically, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And that's the only way they can get some of these things to go through. I'm sure it is a part of it. There's a point though where you go, okay, we got to stop scratching here and start cutting, because we just can't pay it back. And, you know, and I don't think if, you know, we as a country went into bankruptcy, that would be catastrophic.
So I want to just read the definition just like one time, just to clarify. So in the US, the debt ceiling or debt limit is a legislative limit on the amount of national debt that can be incurred by the US Treasury. So it's just 31.4. That's our limit. We're not going over it. Thus limiting how much money the federal government may pay by borrowing more money on the debt it already borrowed. So, you know, that is the problem then, right? Is that we can't pay anymore. And so we can't borrow anymore. We can't pay anymore. So we are McFuckedo.
Well, I was reading that out.
And so
most countries don't have this. This is a self-imposed, I guess, mechanism to try and control the debt so you don't become a Greece, I guess, is at the end of the day. Or in Italy for that matter. they're in a rough spot too. So I think that's kind of unique, right? That this is self-imposed. It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, there's some economists that think that, like, they postulate that a nation, in theory, as long as you have enough income and like GDP value, that you could potentially borrow forever,
right?
And
that's
always
definitely
run a debt
the guy
never
principle
have to
here.
Have a surplus.
It seems.
I mean, there's some people that think that you can just shoot this shit sky high. Like higher than it is now. And like, if you're at a caliber of the United States, like you're fine. But that's a theory, right? Like when the first country, like the US, goes down because of debt,
there's always,
might change.
There's
the
always
or two.
The first one to,
there's always a first.
It's going
to
be a first one.
The hypothesis.
And I guess,
so Dominic, let me ask you,
that is,
what would you do?
Mm-hmm. I'd pay the loan holders.
So you'd screw your constituents as Biden,
yes, because,
and pretty much guaranteeing that you're not getting reelected.
I know it's a potentially heartless argument. I understand that, but also think about this though: is that there is no motivation for these politicians really to figure it out. Like, they live in pretty cozy lives.
Yeah, they're not hurting.
They don't represent
personally
99% of Americans. Yeah. And they're not. They're not hurting personally. Now, if there was, you know, cuts,
they were going to be evicted from their homes.
Cut their salaries. Yeah.
Stuff, yeah.
I mean, they might be upset if, you know, the military is going unpaid and, you know, there was a revolt and all this stuff. Like, they'd have a little more incentive to get shit done because they would hear about it more. But it's like, to me, the risk of losing your reputation as being able to pay your bills, right, is not right. And even think about this, like, think on an individual level. Like, on an individual level, like, if you don't pay your shit, you're fucked. Right. Like, people are coming for you and they are going to take your shit. And I'm not saying, like, that's, like, humane and ethical and all that stuff. Like, it depends on what it is. But there's... When does accountability come back to the table?
Well, the problem is, in my opinion, too, is who's accountable? It's the taxpayers. It's not the people making the decisions in Washington. I mean, they're probably loopholing the crap out of their taxes and not paying anything. And so you're then going to ask people in nursing homes to suffer, people who have on welfare, people who, you know, that's going to be those are going to be the people who really suffer in a situation where you have to decide.
The Republicans
they're not
get their
are
checks the Republicans love
it
because they hate these programs.
I know.
Anyway.
I know. And it,
socialism.
Well, I mean, socialism. No, but here's the thing, though, is like what Republicans won't talk about is there's a ton of Republican base.
By and large, it's them.
They will never admit it.
By and large.
That's
not
by and
large.
70.
No way. How can you say by and large? Based on what? There's nothing. Yeah.
No, but they would hear it eventually. And that's what
I'm saying. And I don't think all Republicans are against those programs. I think what they're against is how those programs are mismanaged. At least that's what I've always heard from people, personal people. I'm not talking about necessarily politicians, but people that I know. They're, you know, when people live their whole lives on welfare and that's all they ever know because that's what they're born into and they've never jobs or done whatever. And so I think there's certain things about the mismanagement of it that they're not even trying to do certain things to make it better. They were never meant to be a lifestyle. They were meant to be a help. And I think that's where they get frustrated, at least the regular people on the street. I don't know about the Republican politician people. I mean, I think there's probably some that do hate it and some that realize it's just the way life is and we're going to have to live with it.
Or, and then they chose to go nuclear and
it's
just kind of
where they're at right
we're
now.
Blow this fucker up.
Who did?
They want to burn the house down.
Give us what we want, and we're going to blow this bitch up.
Oh, the debt ceiling.
I'm not following the. Oh,
that's yeah. Ceiling. Yeah, that's their. Yeah, they went right from negotiations to nuke option.
Okay.
Yeah. So I feel like you have to eat the short term pain, because that short term pain will cause outrage, which should motivate politicians to actually come to the table and figure something out that is truly a compromise. Yeah, I'd hope.
From that decision. And I'm talking about mainly people who can't afford medications and different things like that are dependent on that. And that's when you make those kinds of decisions, China's not going to die if we don't pay their debt. You know, the debt we owe them. But there will be people who suffer. There could be more people on the street, more people. Okay. And I'm not saying, I don't know the answer. I'm just saying this is what the cluster is that is so frustrating to figure out. I mean,
I know. It's the terrible decision either way, but think about this. A lot of Americans don't think about how many advantages we have being the United States.
I know.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying that we're all roses and sunshine, right? Like, we're not, we still have our own problems.
We have lots of our own problems, yes.
But the way that we can kind of call the shots around the world because of the power of the US dollar. Like now, like that gets into this like larger argument of like global power and influence. And what I'm more concerned about, right? And I don't want people dying from medication loss.
Want
and all
that reputation like, taking a ding, right?
Think about Well, imagine a reality where, you know, China makes some power plays, right? So imagine we default on our debt, we don't pay our debt holders, and then China's like, hey, you know what, world? Come over to China. China will take care of you. You know, and we start losing some of our long-term allies' trust, and they start putting their money and financial shit over into their markets. And now the US can't call the shots. They can't get the prices we want. And now we become the fallen Roman Empire beholden to someone else's wishes. And to me, that's when shit really spirals out of control, because you know, now we can't pay our bills. No one wants to invest in us. We're losing money. You know, there's disasters and, you know, we fall behind.
A lot of stuff to other countries already anyway, like labor and stuff like that, you know. So
yeah,
if you take that and you then throw this on top of it, then you're right, because what'll happen, we don't make a whole lot of stuff here anymore. We may have the companies that produce that in some way, but they're produced elsewhere. They're not made here. A lot of the things
assembled in America, yes. Not made in America. Yeah. Assembled. That's what all the cars.
I know, it's crazy. I don't know the answer to this, and I hope that they come up with some decent kind of answer for everybody. And it very well could be raise the debt ceiling. I don't know.
It's so hard because it's like what I would want to say, I don't think would happen, because I would say raise the debt ceiling for a short term, like say like end of summer, and then be earnest. Everyone sit down and actually come up with a real compromise. The problem I see with that is that once you remove the leverage, I don't think they actually go to
the
table.
Politics shows up and it's all a bunch of crap. I mean, both sides just yelling about the other side being the problem and nobody doing anything. And it unfortunately is going to come when it's going to be a come to Jesus situation where they have to do something before they actually do something. Because right now they're just trying to, I don't know, bad mouth and pull down the other side, both sides doing that and making them look like the enemy so that they can continue to stay in power or keep their job, their elected position where they have all kinds
and
of
and that will work. I mean, for both
that they
parties,
have access to.
Oh,
that
yeah.
will work right now because the country is so polarized. So it's actually the perfect time for politicians to engage in this kind of behavior because they have an audience. Both sides have their audiences very firmly at their feet.
Yep.
Yep. We need a third party that captures 20% of the... I'm serious. If you had a third party that held 20% of the seats, you would at least make the other two compromise.
It'd be Europe.
Or nothing would get done. That's the alternative. It'd be here. This is a crazy number that I just want to throw out there. Do you guys want to guess how much the national debt was in the beginning of 2013?
So we're talking 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
$9 trillion.
I'm going to say it wasn't even $1 trillion. I'm going to say
$9 trillion.
$1 trillion.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Do you even know how much a trillion is? Haven't you ever held a trillion in your hands?
Yes. 12 zeros. Yes. I got it in my account. I was thinking about giving it to the government and just
The debt ceiling at the beginning of 2013 was $16.394 trillion. That means we've almost doubled it
in 10 years.
In 10 years.
Which, you know, the other, but again, what's our
inflation
debt to GDP?
Inflation doesn't
ratio.
Help in,
that's
the,
what,
in COVID.
Debt to GDP ratio?
Yeah, now.
That's a good question. What, 20, now?
Like, GDP is about $120.
If you figure the U.S. makes $50 a day.
Yes.
No time.
We can pay off that debt in no time. I like that, Dom.
You know, it's really the ratio of into out. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to know the, yeah.
So the United States government debt accounted for 123.4% of the country's nominal GDP in December of 2022. No, but I mean, you start like, so if you, I used to follow the US debt clock.
You big fat nerd.
And it's just.
I used to look at it every day.
I did. My mom showed it to me.
And then I would
buy
glasses.
I did. I had the app. I had the app. It's you go online, you look the US debt clock up, and it's just this terrifying.
Is it right next
board
to the like
of
nuclear
just
war
numbers
clock?
Constantly moving? Like yeah, there's like 100 different fields of numbers constantly moving.
This is a system that humans put in place to elevate ourselves
it's
above
real.
Other people. Like we created this. I'm gonna have you guys.
I lay awake at night.
You don't have to
think about
chickens.
I feel like this is the path. This is the path. I think the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling might do it.
Show me one communist country
Russia's
thriving.
Russia's debt to income ratio is less than
it's not thing, thriving. Not if you. Yeah, maybe, but that's the people who are there.
No, the place
they're probably
sucks.
Not super happy about it.
Can't even beat a bunch of Ukrainians.
Yeah, a small country like the Ukraine, they can't even.
Good.
They're holding
it's
them off.
Nuts. Okay, yeah. So probably by the time this episode airs.
We'll all be in a Russian gulag.
It will be.
Straight to jail.
Pretty close. It'll almost be June 1st, so hopefully. They'll have made some kind of progress.
I bet they haven't.
Anybody want to place any bets?
Not
on
this
that?
Crew. Not based on not from what I've seen. They are happy to watch the world burn because, to Dominic's point, it doesn't impact them, and it doesn't impact their electability, which is what is so fucked up about this country right now. Nobody gets. There's no accountability.
Nope.
Yep. He's for those of you who can't see, he's got a
he's probably the move.
like a smirk, and he's twisting from side
smirk,
to side
like he's
in
thinking,
his chair.
Oh, you silly old people! I know better. That's what he's thinking.
I want to be, why do I have to be careful? There's nothing at stake for me, so I'm just gonna make a crazy guess. This is just my crazy guess. They're gonna raise the debt ceiling, but. They're going to claw back all of the unspent COVID money. And they're going to agree to a very small budget cut.
I would love for them to claw back
a dollar.
Like fucking Marjorie Taylor Greene. Claw back her fucking COVID money. She got a business loan COVID money thing. Matt Gaetz.
Oh, like, gosh. So many people did that. Didn't my former boss got all this back when they gave the money for, you
and
know,
did they need it?
The PPP.
Yes, the PPP. He got a
claw
bunch of money.
I'm like, motherfucker.
No, they had money in the bank. Exactly. I'll give it. If the government's listening, I'll give you his name and his phone number. I just think it's crazy. Some of that stuff that, you know. Yeah, I agree. Call it all back. I'm sure there's a lot of people.
All of it.
Straight to jail.
Throw them in jail. Straight to jail. Straight to jail. Jail. Automatically jail.
That's the best way to go.
When I used to watch the debt clock.
Debt clock.
It was super fascinating.
Okay, and I'm sorry. Back it up. When Dominic used to watch the debt clock.
When I used to watch the debt clock. Yes, our numbers were terrifying, but you could go to the global section and you could see everyone else's debt to GDP ratios or GDP to debt, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, fuck, we were nothing compared to other people. There were people posting 200, 300, 400% over.
Yes, that's Japan, Venezuela, Greece. I mean, yeah, their like, total number isn't fuck. That high, but they don't have...
They don't have a lot, yeah.
Lebanon's in trouble. Right, they're not bringing in, you know, but we're like in the middle of this.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine if all the rich billionaires were paying a lot more taxes? I just thought I'd...
Wouldn't that be helpful?
So cool.
We wouldn't have to worry about the debt ceiling.
I have to show you this debt clock. It's just fucking fascinating.
Thanks for listening to Boomer Meets World. If you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and like us and give us a good review. To reach out with a question or topic idea, email us at podcast@boomermeetsworld.com.